we are indeed blessed to be here, to be in the house of God. He has blessed us with rain. Sometimes we ask for things and we complain. But we can recall not so long ago we joined as a country, begging for water. Drought was upon us, and we have gotten it. We have gotten a lot of water. So we give God thanks for his blessing. We recognize that many would have been inconvenienced. I've seen some video clips, and it's sort of frightening to see some of the landslides and so forth. But, we give God thanks for his blessings and for the wisdom that he has given us and the capability to address these challenges. I was talking to a colleague at work, and they were saying, well, this whole lot of rain has made many of us realize that our house needs fixing. Many of us didn't know we have leaks and all kind of issues at home, all right? So, we give God thanks. And we are happy to be in the house of God. We are a special set of persons, not because we are good and have done anything real wonderful, but it's because of the mercy and the grace of God. And we have, gotten the opportunity to be crucified with Christ. And this gives us assurance as his children, gives us hope for an eternity, and we are just happy to be in the house of God to laud and magnify his name. We are always thankful for the encouragement received, and we continue to ask that you pray for us, that as we study and strive to share God's word, that we will always represent the Almighty God when we stand here. We want this morning to explore together from the text read on the subject, that male factor crucified. That male factor crucified. And before we even read it again, I'll ask the brothers to do that in a short while, it would probably on the surface, just by the topic, would give the impression that, we are talking about, Paul or Jesus Christ. But in reality, while Paul would probably be covered in the lesson, we are really not talking about the Apostle Paul. And, some of you probably by now starting to get an understanding of what my favorite passage is. From Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where it echoes the truth or the words of Paul when he says, I am crucified with Christ. And he goes on to say, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And when we speak of that male factor crucified, we're really not talking about Paul. Neither are we talking about Jesus the Christ. In fact, we are talking about two persons on the cross with Jesus Christ. And we want to evolve the lesson to recognize that those two male factors, and we see shortly that even though it's called male factor, ladies don't feel left out. That those male factors typifies us. And so, us crucified, that male factor crucified includes us. Now, let us have the passage read again. Luke chapter 23, start at verse 39. And I want us, as we listen to the passage, and we'll have to step back a little, we want to recognize that at the cross of Jesus Christ, at the crucifixion, at his death, that there are many characters. But let's pick up at verse 39.
And one of the malefactors,
one of the male factors, yes,
which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us."
So if thou be Christ, save yourself and us.
But the other answering rebuked him.
But the other answered and rebuked him,
saying, "Dost not thou fear God?
You don't fear God?
Seeing thou art in the same condemnation."
You're in the same position. You're about to be killed. You're about to be murdered. You're being crucified. Read on.
"And we indeed justly, for we receive..."
So we, they are saying, we are being crucified justly, but Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. He has done nothing wrong, and he is being crucified. You can hold there for a second. We want to give a little context to this setting, because this specific setting, we have Jesus Christ hanging on the cross with two male factors, one on the left and one on the right. But while we want to talk about the male factors, and one in particular, but for completeness, we'll look at lessons that we can be learning from these male factors. And we hope that this lesson will be one that informs and brings encouragement as we examine lessons from the cross. And one of the things that's going to come out, and we might not get to that today, is that many persons look at this scene, the scene of Jesus Christ with the two male factors, and they get some lessons that's just totally incorrect. You know, one of which, to give you a little insight in where we'll probably get next week, God's willing, is that many will use this and say, "I can be saved like the thief on the cross." But no, sir, no, ma'am. But we will get to that. But let's examine for a few minutes various characters that we see at Calvary, at the foot of the cross, as it were. And if we go up to the start of the chapter, then chapter 1 tells us, read, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate." And so one of the characters that we see playing out in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is that of Pilate. We also see verse 4, read, "Then said Pilate..."
To the chief priests and to the people.
To the chief priests
and to the people. "I find no fault in this man."
I find no fault with this man, or in this man. And so we are seeing at the cross leaders, as in Pilate. We are seeing religious persons at the cross, the chief priests. In verse 8, we see Herod being featured. Verse 8.
"And when Herod saw Jesus..."
And when Herod saw Jesus...
"He was exceeding glad."
He was exceeding glad. You know, I'm going to pause on Herod here a little. Because here's a leader, political leader of sorts. And when he saw Jesus, when they brought him to him, he was exceeding glad, joyous. How many times have we introduced Christ to persons? And they welcome you. They want to talk about him with you because they have certain desires. But read on. Still at verse 8.
He was exceeding glad.
So he was exceeding glad.
For he was desirous to see him.
Because he had a desire to see Christ.
Of a long season.
For a long time he wanted to see Christ.
Because he had heard many things of him.
He had heard of Christ. So many persons we come in contact with, they would have heard about Jesus Christ. And when you say you want to talk about Christ, they do not resist you. But when they understand what being obedient to Christ is about, a lot of times there is a change. Herod had great expectations. You know, he had heard of the miracles. I will love excitement. You know, how many times would we have invited persons to worship? And when they come, they say, oh, worship to death. You know, we not here now, holy hallelujah and amen and praise the Lord. And in some sense, we go to extreme. Because when we speak certain truth, we need to be able to understand what is being said and say hallelujah. We need to be able to understand what is being said and say God is to be praised. We need to understand what is being said and say it is so. I saw it go. A true amen. Because when truths are being said, we should respond. But how often do we have persons saying, well, I want to go somewhere where I can expect a miracle. You know, where I want to come to church because I have an ailment and I want to be touched on the forehead and be healed. So sometimes persons have great expectations of Jesus Christ. And it is interesting, you know, that Herod was there at the crucifixion, right, or leading up to it, you know, as a Herod, you know, king, ruler, you know. You know, we know that there were several Herods, you know. We know of the Herod the Great, and then when he died, he was succeeded by several other Herods. And this Herod here, you know, he didn't get very far in helping Jesus Christ or helping Pilate. All right, for time's sake, I won't jump into too much of it, but Pilate really wanted an escape route. You know, he realized that Jesus Christ wasn't guilty. And when he realized that, you know, Jesus Christ had some association with Galilee, you know, he said, oh, you're a Galilean. All right, let me send you to the jurisdiction of Herod that is associated with Galilee. All right, so that he could wipe his hand clean of things. But when Herod got him, Herod never make any headway, and he sent him back to Pilate. But it is interesting that when Herod met Christ and was excited about him, at the end of it, he did not come to be in unison with Christ. And Paul had a similar experience with another Herod, King Agrippa, you know, almost one of the last of the Herods. And when Paul recounted his experience with Christ, and it is interesting that Paul was almost like in the same predicament as Jesus Christ, where they were before Herod, and the Herod could free or put them to death. And here we see with King Agrippa, Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, that when Paul would have recounted his experience with Christ, how Christ revealed himself, how he was exposed to the gospel, how he embraced the gospel, how Christ made a change in his life, then the commentary was again sad. Because this Herod, King Agrippa, says in verse 28 following, read for me.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul.
Well, read the verse above.
King Agrippa, leavest thou the prophets?
So after he would have recounted his experience, that's Paul being evangelistic, and he would have recounted his experience, then he poses a question to the Herod. He posed a question to King Agrippa, and he says, read.
I know that thou believest.
All right, so do you believe the prophets? And then Paul answer, I know.
I know that thou believest.
That you believe. Yes, I know this. Read.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul.
Almost thou persuadest
almost,
me.
Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And so, we too shouldn't be really so discouraged. When we preach the gospel, we need to preach it in love and leave it. Because what we say, you can carry the horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. We have to do our best to enlighten persons, but it is for them to obey. And so, like his uncle or granduncle, here this Herod again did not embrace Christ. He did not take on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I strayed a little because we are looking at various characters at the cross. And we are looking at these characters, but we are leading up to the male factors. So we would have seen the Herod, would have seen Pilate, the religious leaders. And we recognize that the leaders do not always get it right. So Christians, let's get a learning from this. Because oftentimes we give a lot of credit to our secular leaders. We give a lot of credit to religious leaders too, and civil leaders, or political leaders. We think that if a political leader embraces a particular truth, then all of a sudden that truth is right. And to the extent that our parliament and our culture is aligned with what I like, then we see it as right and no longer wrong. But Herod got it wrong. Pilate, and you know, a Pilate is a Roman prefect, and I can only associate this with prefects in school. You know, where in a sense they were like governors, you know, of a civil or a military nature, and they themselves really had no, they weren't royalty, you know, but the king, the Herod would have given them different responsibility for different territories. And we fall in that trap all the time. If a leader in the secular realm says something, then we hold on and we grab at it tightly as if that makes it a correct thing. But notice the characters at the cross. These leaders, civil, military, judiciary, if we want to say, they did not get it right. Not only them, but even the chief priests, the religious leaders, they got it wrong. In verse 10, if you are still in Luke 23.
And the chief priests and scribes stood.
So not only were the chief priests present, but we also had the scribes.
Stood.
Verse 19. Let's go quickly. Verse 19.
Who for a certain sedition,
yes,
made in the city,
yes,
and for murder was cast into prison.
So here we have a cross-section of persons, because not only the leaders, the spiritual and the political and civic leaders, but at the cross we had murderous Barabbas. But let me hasten to say that there are also followers of Christ. In verse 26, we see Simon.
And?
Not Peter now, but Simon the Cyrene. That's where he's from, really.
Yes. And as they led him away, they laid.
I'm not going to tarry there. So we have persons who followed Christ, and he helped Christ in terms of helping with the carrying of the cross. And we had other sympathizers. Read verse 27. I know I'm pushing you ahead because I'm trying to reach
back. And there followed him a great company of people.
A great company followed him. Read.
And of women.
Of women.
Which were also bewailed and lamented him.
So we had sympathizers of Jesus Christ at the cross. So there were various characters at the cross. In verse 36, we see that there were also soldiers around the cross, leading up to the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You know, in verse 35, we are also told that we had many people.
And the people,
yes,
stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided.
All right, so we had the people, the crowd. And it is the same crowd that when Pilate had made a decision, he came to a good point and he said, well, I can release Jesus Christ. You know, I must release somebody. So I must give you somebody. So I'm going to give you Jesus Christ. I'm going to release Christ. But they said of Christ, crucify him, crucify him. So the people were against Jesus Christ. So these are many persons surrounding the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I pause and ask the question, where are we when it comes to Jesus Christ? Are we like rulers? Are we like the crowd saying crucify him? Are we helpers like Simon? Who are we?
Amen.
But not only did we have these persons, and I remind you of the topic, that male factor crucified. In verse 36, we are told that there were two other characters at the cross with Jesus Christ. Verse 36.
And the soldiers also mocked him.
Yes.
Coming to him and offering him vinegar.
Yes.
And saying, if thou be the king of the Jew, save thyself.
All right, jump down to verse 39.
And one of the male factors.
And one of the male factors.
Which were angry on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us.
All right. So here we see that we also had the male factors. Okay, what I was looking for was verse 32. All right, read verse 32 for me.
And there were also two other male
factors. Okay, so in addition to all the characters that we would have been stepping through, verse 32 says, and there were also
two other male factors.
Male factors.
Led with him to be put to death.
So two male factors were to be put to death. you know, at a leisure read, we might get the impression that this male factor or these male factors were just males. But as I prepare the lesson, we recognize that, you know, and if we were to well, it was a learning for me, so I'm sharing it with you, that by definition, a male factor is not necessarily a male. A male factor, by definition, is a person who commits a crime or some other wrong. A male factor is a person who commits a crime or some other wrong. And so let us now not get lost in what passages like Mark 15, that gives the same account, talks about the thieves on the cross. Let's not get too fixated about the thief, because on the cross is all of us. On the cross, it's you and me, because we are all guilty. We are all guilty. But I want to come back to that in a little while, so let me not jump the gun too far. But what we are seeing is that at the cross, there are many characters, and we can be associated with these by our attitude and our action. But let's take a glimpse at the male factors referenced in verse 32, because it tells us that there were two other male factors that was led with him to be put to death. You know, we said that we gave the definition of the male factor, and the NIV puts it sort of good, you know. It talks about criminal. You know, it doesn't use the word male factor, but it uses the word criminal. You know, the same word translated male factor is used in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 to make reference to evildoers. So once we are evildoers, then we are a male factor. Proverbs 21 and verse 15 gives the same shade when it talks about shade of meaning, when it talks about we are workers of iniquity. Proverbs 21 and verse 15, we have that, read it.
It is joy.
It is joy.
To the just.
Yes.
To do judgment.
To do judgment.
But destruction shall be to the workers.
But destruction shall be.
To the workers of iniquity.
To the workers of iniquity. So we are all subject to destruction because we are all guilty in one way or the other. But notice that the male factors surrounded Jesus Christ. And that's no surprise. Because Jesus Christ was here. He left the splendor of heaven and came to earth to seek and to save the lost, to seek and to save sinners. So it's no surprise that as he is going to accomplish and fulfill his purpose on the cross, that he was surrounded by workers of iniquity. That he was surrounded by evildoers. And I want to say to us that when we, you know, we had one of the male factor on the left and one of the male factors on the right. And this too is not something far-fetched from what we see through Scripture. Because Christ often makes that type of demarcation, where in Matthew chapter 25 verse 31 following, we are told about the goat and the sheep. You know, and it's going to be striking that one of the male factors found himself in a predicament, while the other found himself receiving the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. But we always have choices. Jesus Christ talks about the goat and the sheep and, you know, those who follow him and were obedient to him, he classified them as sheep, but those who were disobedient as goat. But we won't spend time there. But we can always read that and study that for ourselves, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, following. Not only that, but Jesus Christ again in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14 gives us this choice always. We are not robots. And he says in verse 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the way and broad is it that leads to destruction. So again, we're seeing that concept of evildoer and its destiny to destruction. But we have a choice. We can go the straight way or we can go the broad way. God gives us a choice always. And God does look at which route we take. You know, in fact, on the concept of workers of iniquity, as we saw in Proverbs 21, the same Matthew tells us in verse 21 of chapter 7 that many
that said unto me,
everyone that says, Lord, Lord,
shall enter the kingdom of heaven.
Shall enter into the kingdom
of heaven.
Yes.
But he that doeth the will of God.
So depending on how we align ourselves, do we walk the straight and narrow way or do we take the wide and broad way? And even though we are saying, Lord, Lord, we can still be malefactors. We can still be evildoers, because if we do not do the will of God, then we are told that we are workers of iniquity. Was that verse finished? Verse 22?
Many will say to me in that day,
yes,
Lord, Lord,
Lord, Lord,
have we not prophesied in thy name?
Have we not prophesied in thy name?
And in thy name has cast out devils?
And in thy name we have cast out devils?
And in thy name has done many wonderful works?
And in your name we have done many wonderful works?
And then will I profess unto them.
And then here is what Christ is going to say. I never knew you. Even though you were doing things in my name, even though you were casting out devils, you know, you seem to be doing a good thing. But he sees us as doing iniquity. Read that last part for me again.
And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you.
I never knew you.
Depart from me.
Depart from me.
He that work iniquity.
He that work iniquity. You who in my sight is a criminal. You who in my sight is an evildoer. Why? Because you did not follow God's word. So not because a person is excited about Christ means that they are followers of Christ. Do we remember Herod? He was excited to hear about Jesus Christ. But if you do not do his will, then as far as Christ is concerned, as far as God is concerned, then you are an evildoer. You are a malefactor, guilty as charged. You know, I'm here saying to us that we are all guilty. All of us, we are all guilty. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I can recall Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, when the church was being established, you know, on the day of Pentecost. And there you had Peter delivering the first gospel message. And there he's sharing truth. And then when he gets to verse 36, he's now putting in the clincher in the lesson. And he says, Therefore,
let all the house of Israel.
Let all the house of Israel
know assuredly.
Know assuredly
that God has made that same Jesus.
That God has made the same Jesus
whom He have crucified.
Who you have crucified.
Both Lord and Christ.
Both Lord and Christ. We are all guilty of crucifying Jesus Christ. We can take the high stand. We can come up and we can put our chest up and say they were so wicked that they crucified Christ. But we did it. We crucified Jesus Christ. Not just those persons that were at Calvary. Not just the people shouting, crucify him. But by our evil doings, we too have crucified Jesus Christ. Not just those who shouted, crucify him. Not just those who stood up and derided him. Not just the Jews, but even us today, right here in Jamaica, sitting right here, by our sins, we have crucified Jesus Christ. We too are guilty. We too, in the sight of God, are surrounding Jesus Christ. We are malefactors. We are malefactors. The malefactors are not just those two thieves on the cross. Can we put ourselves in their shoe? Is it proper for us to put ourselves in their shoe? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, we are given an insight into crimes that displease the Almighty God. It's not a comprehensive list, because we could also look at Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. We could look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 following. That list many things that in the sight of God, these make us evildoers and justified malefactors. But let's stick to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and start at verse 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
That the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Be not deceived.
Don't be deceived.
Neither fornicators.
So it's listing down some things. Listen now. Let us put ourselves at the cross. Let us put ourselves to the left and the right of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to save us. And let us not be happy at the fact that I'm not a thief. But though you are not a thief, are you still a malefactor? Listen carefully. Pick up where you started. Does that for that you start to listen?
Neither fornicators.
Fornicators, are we nor, fornicators?
Nor idolaters.
Are we idolaters?
Nor,
do we put other things before Christ and God and the church, Christianity, the kingdom of God? That makes us idolaters. Read on.
Nor adulterers.
Adulterers.
Nor
abusers. Do you self-abuse and abuse yourself with mankind? Read.
Thieves.
So wait. It's not just thieves that are malefactors. It has bundled up thief with all of these other evil doings in the sight of God. So if I'm not an idolater, if I'm not a murderer, well, did it say murderer? It never said murderer. Idolaters we covered. Fornicators we covered, adulterers we covered, effeminate and abusers of ourselves, and you know, those of us who meet in this session, we're losing out on some of the lessons from Brother Mitchell, but good news, we can go on the website and listen to them, yes? So we can get insight, because that's a deterioration of even natural immoral things. you know, to start abusing ourselves, women with women, men with men. But let's examine, because all of these things, and then it put our teeth in the mix. So if these five things can be accredited to you, then you're a male factor. But if they are not, then you are good. Now that's false teaching. It's not, because it never stopped there, did it? Continue reading.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards.
So wait, I love to take my little whites and feel airy, tipsy. You know, this life, I remember it was my first job years ago. And it was one Christmas, you know. And this man came in the office and he was here. Ha ha ha, a Merry Christmas. Ha ha ha, a Merry Christmas, you know. And he'll say, oh, you know that I forget the thing. But what he was saying is, but rum is life itself. You know, but he said it in a drunken slur, you know, and he loved to be tipsy. You know, he loved to feel airy. And some of us, we like to take our little drink. And we can drink, you know, but never to a state of drunkenness, you know. So we don't want to go in excess. But what I'm saying here is that to the extent that we are drunkards, we are in the same category as a male factor. We are in the same category as an adulterer. We are in the same category as the effeminate. Read on. Was it finished? No.
Nor revelers, nor extortioners. Revelers.
So we'll you know, the carnival thing, you know, reveling. Read on.
Nor extortioners.
Extortioners, where we just rob people blind. You know, the thing that value much, you know, we get some inferior stuff and we sell it like, say, it's the brand name. We trick people. Extortion. Selling things some more than it's worth. Read on.
Shall inherit the kingdom of God.
All right, and this is not a comprehensive list, but here's the message I want to leave in this. The message we are leaving here is that by our action, we too are male factors. We have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. Not because we are not thieves. Not because we are not murderers. That we should feel like we are okay. How many times have persons gone to study with persons? We try to encourage them to have a Bible study. And they meet you with excitement. Good work you're doing. But you don't need to come to me. Why? Go to the gangster. Go in the ghetto area and teach them. They are the ones who need Christ and Christianity, they would tell us. But any sin that we would have done would make us as guilty as those male factors at the cross of Calvary. That male factor crucified is us. We are the ones who led Christ to be crucified, to be hung on that cross. But we still want to take a closer look at that male factor crucified. I'm going to wrap up the lesson, but it's not complete. But to give you an insight into where we are going, we really want to look at the male factor too. Because there are many lessons that we get from his discourse with Jesus Christ, from his discussion with Jesus Christ, from the words that he echoed. But before we even go to male factor two, we will look at some lessons that we can learn from male factor number one. But suffice it to say at this juncture, that we are all in our own rights, male factors. We are all needing the mercy, the grace of Jesus Christ. We all need the saving power of Jesus Christ. We all, like the people on the day of Pentecost that were exposed to the truth of the gospel of Christ, to be obedient to it. It is not sufficient for us to hear about Jesus Christ. It is not sufficient to believe that Jesus Christ exists and to be excited about hearing him. But we need to live a repentant life. And so those in the hearing of my voice who are not yet Christians, then having heard about the love of Jesus Christ that took him to Calvary to be crucified, you need to take it a step further than just hearing and believing that. But we need to repent, to make a change, to also confess his name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Why not do the confession now? Profess him to be Lord and Savior. And it is not sufficient to stop there, because all of that is unto salvation. But it's when we get into Christ in baptism that we get to be truly in unison with Jesus Christ, that we truly get into Jesus Christ when we are immersed, covered in water for the remission of our sins. You have the opportunity to do this at any time you want. We'll make ourselves available to you. That male factor, crucified. I am, in the sight of God, a male factor. I deserve to be crucified. You are a male factor in the sight of God. You deserve to be crucified. Jesus Christ paid the price for us. Will you embrace him? Will you accept him? There were many at the cross of Calvary, because guess what? No one will ever escape that point in history. We all have to answer to what took place at the cross of Calvary. If not now, later on, we have to give an answer. We are male factors crucified. We are male factors surrounding Jesus Christ. Will you be critical of him? Will you strive to use him? Or will you ask that he has mercy on you, so that at the end of your day, he can echo in like he said to one of the male factors, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." The lesson is yours for today. We want to invite the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. And if we recognize that we need to come back to Jesus Christ because we have strayed, we have flaunted in his face the sacrifice that he has made, today is as good a day as any to come back to him. Come repenting, come confessing your faults as Christians, and you can come back home. What's the number, brother? 557. 557. Please be standing as we sing.
Hear the blessed Savior calling thee a friend. Oh, we have a laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, your load will bear. Bring me every burden and bring me air. Why don't you come, come, come unto me? And I will give you rest. you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. You want only feeling, struggling in your breast. Bring your case to Jesus and He will give. Why don't you come, come, come unto me? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. For my yoke is easy and my burden have you by temptation often conquered being as a sense of weakness brought distress within. Christ will sanctify you if you claim His best. Oh, He will give. Why don't you come, come, come unto me? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly.
We want to say thanks to Brother West.